anointed in order that we don't dishonor or profane the name of the Lord, okay? So I just thought I would just give a little bit of a kind of some brief overview of that, and then we'll get more into the next question that says, the next question actually kind of explicates that. Question 110, what does God require in the third commandment? So what does he require? And we'll look at that answer. But I first wanted to just kind of give a brief overview of the third commandment. That, first off, it's a very serious commandment. I mean, he says he will not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. So it's a very serious commandment at that. I wanted to read to us a passage in Leviticus 24, 10 to 16 about a woman's son who takes the name of the Lord in vain. And you'll see what happens to him. He profanes the name. So let me turn there. It's Leviticus 24, 10 through 18. I know this is Old Testament, so it doesn't, you know, again, sometimes we read the Old Testament, some people might be tempted to think, oh, well, that's the Old Testament, so this really doesn't even have anything to do with us. Aren't we New Covenant Christians? Well, we are New Covenant Christians, but it doesn't mean the Old Testament is obsolete. I mean, the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament, and of course it wouldn't be under the civil penalties like they were in the theocracy of Israel. But nevertheless, the principle holds that we should not take the name of the Lord in vain, in a vain way. And it's a very serious thing to do that, right? That's one of the things we can learn from this passage. Yes, we're not going to execute people for taking the name of the Lord in vain, just like we wouldn't execute people for kidnapping or adultery or anything like that. But nevertheless, it's still a very serious issue. And that's what we should see from this Old Testament passage, okay? So Leviticus 20, starting in verse 10. Wait, is it? 24. Leviticus 24, verse 10. Who wants to read this passage? Go ahead. And read 10 to... To 16, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, that was serious, right? I mean, how would we feel about that if everyone who took the name of the Lord in a dishonorable way, if we would stone them to death? I mean, that would be real serious. Think of our culture today, how many people dishonor the name. I mean, you can hear it all the time, you know, with the OMG and all of these things. So it just shows that it was a very serious infraction. And it really shows that we need to take it seriously. I mean, if we can learn anything from that passage, it shows that we need to take that very seriously, that it really dishonors God and it incites the wrath of God or the anger of God to take the name of the Lord in a vain, empty, or a dishonorable way. Okay, so... And we saw that he was executed for it. All right. So, and then also I want to also explain this, that it's also a very broad commandment when we say taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's just not, it definitely includes using God's name as a curse word. You know, when you get angry and you said something using his name as a curse word, it definitely includes that. I mean, that's probably the essence of it. But also in the Bible, it actually explicates even more. It's a very broad commandment. So let me just explain that. For example, uttering empty or false oaths were a violation of the third commandment. So uttering empty or false oaths, empty or false oaths were a violation of the third commandment. So Leviticus 19:12 says this, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So you shall not swear by my name falsely and profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So maybe a false oath. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to do that a lot, I think. You know, if you wanted to you know, get someone to believe, you might say, I, you know, you swear to, you know, God. Yeah, I'm scared to say it because, but you're right. You would, you know, and it would, you know, but it's kind of like, you know, it's basically swearing in a false and empty way. Now, there is a time, I think, and we'll talk about this maybe next week, where it's okay as when you take a court oath and they say, would you swear to tell the whole truth and to help you God? Like that, I don't think that is a violation of this commandment. Some people might want to say that. I don't think it's a violation of this commandment, and the catechism would agree with me about that. Paul a lot would say, you know, I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not. God bearing me witness, you know, calling upon God as a witness. So I don't think that's necessarily wrong. But just to do it in a flippant way, in a false way, I swear, you know, by God, and in a false way, that would not be a good thing to do. So uttering empty or false oaths was a violation of this commandment, you know. Maybe somebody would do it in order to deceive or to lie to somebody, and they would just call upon God's name in order to, so they would seem like they're being truthful when they're not following through. That's a violation of this commandment, okay? Secondly, this commandment's broad because infant sacrifice was also considered a transgression of this commandment, which is really, isn't that kind of odd? It was, they're saying infant, when the Israelites would offer their children, infant sacrifice was being conducted to the god Molech, the false god Molech. That was actually a profanation or profaning the name of the Lord your God. All right, we can read about that. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 2 and 3. It says, say the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who gives any of his children to Molech, shall surely be put to death. Again, we get the capital punishment. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. So here, when infant sacrifice was a way that they would profane the holy name of God. Now, how does that work? I don't really know exactly, but nevertheless, they're saying that was a transgression of the third commandment, infant sacrifice. I mean, you think it's murder, definitely breaking the sixth commandment. But here God says it's actually breaking the third commandment, maybe because it's misrepresenting God. God never wanted the Israelites to sacrifice their children. He said, that was never my will. That never came into my mind. So when they're doing it in honor of some false god, that's profaning the name of God, especially the Israelites who are supposed to be the people of God, and they're doing something that's reprehensible, and that's profaning the name of God. And God said, I will not hold him guiltless who profanes my name. Jason. Right. Yeah. And that's going to have a lot of implication for us as Christians, you know, how we represent God. You know, also in the Old Testament, a profaning of the name of God, we won't look at it, but in Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel 20 and 21, profaning the name of God, God said that was the false prophets. They actually profane the name of God with their false prophecies and their false teaching about the God of Israel. That was profaning the name of God because they're misrepresenting who God is, right? Profaning his name. So we might think today, you know, a faith teacher that's teaching lies or he's teaching error. Well, that's profaning the name of God in a certain way, isn't it? Because he's misrepresenting God. He's claiming to speak for God. He's claiming to represent God, but he's misrepresenting his character, his nature, his teaching, his word. So that's profaning the name of God. So that would be another way. Okay? All right, well, let's keep going then. We're talking about the third commandment, ways that we can profane the name of God. Another way, what he says, we talked about infant sacrifice already. The name of the Lord was profaned also when priests would offer illicit sacrifices to God, according to Malachi 1, 6 to 8. You know, when they would you know, offer these sacrifices to God that were not unblemished, that were they weren't basically worshiping the way Jehovah wanted to be worshipped. That was also a way they could profane the name of God. And the name of the Lord was profaned when the people would unlawfully touch the holy things, according to Leviticus 22:2. And lastly, putting detestable things in holy places, like the high places, was also profaning the name of God. So we can see then profaning the name of God is a very large concept, right? It's more than just using God's name as a curse word or swearing falsely or deceitfully. All right, is there any questions about that? We can try to expand this a little more. That now when we get into this question, let's look more closely at the answer. Okay, I'll read the answer and then we'll kind of expound this a little bit more. Okay, it says, what does God require in the third commandment? We must not use his name despitefully or irreverently, not only by cursing or false swearing, but also by unnecessary oaths. So unnecessary oaths, like when I said when I was a kid, and I would just say, yeah, everything was, I swear to God, you know, and it was just unnecessary, you know, it was about stupid things too. You know, it was just about things that were unnecessary. So that would be breaking the third commandment. Now, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I didn't even know that, but that was wrong, I think. And it says, not only by Christian false swearing, but also unnecessary oaths. We must not be, and this was one that was very convicting. And the next question, he's even going to talk more about this. He says, we must not be partakers of these horrible sins in others either by silence or consent. So he says, we must not be partakers of these horrible sins in others either by silence or consent. We must always use the sacred and holy name of God with great devotion and reverence, that he may be worshipped and honored by us with a true and steadfast confession, invocation of his name. This should be the case in all of our words and actions. Okay, so let's break this down, this answer, a little bit more and expand on it. Okay, first of all, we can break the commandment either by cussing, swearing, or swearing falsely using God's name. And some of the proof texts that were used is James 5:12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. And that goes right along with Jesus' words about false swearing or swearing unnecessarily when he says, let your yes be yes, your no be no, anything beyond these is of evil. Okay, so we don't want to use the name in this way. And especially in our day and age, a lot of people say, you know, it's like almost like a favorite saying in our culture, the OM, you know, G and all of these things. And people just say it all the time, you know, and that would be using it in a false way or unnecessarily. Yes. Great question. That was going to be my next thing. Yeah. And it's also, yeah, that's what I said was really convicting. And then even the next question answer kind of expands on that idea of that. And he says, is taking God's name in vain by swearing or cussing so grievous a sin that God is also angry with those who do not forbid or hinder it with all their ability? So, I do think, yes, that if someone is using that name in a profane way, that we should. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I've always done it. I'm kind of like you sometimes. I just cringe. You know, one of my son's wrestling coaches, he tries to act like he's a Christian, and he'll say before the match, it's crazy things, you know. He's like, God's got you, baby, you know. That's what he says. God's got you, baby. Then the match will start going, and he'll just start saying the name of Jesus in a profane way. And I'm just like, man, I'm like, just get out of here. My kids are probably going to lose the match because of you now. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just kidding. So I think that is what it's saying. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that we should try. I mean, I'm not saying going around correcting everyone, but if it is in our ability to say, hey, you know, it might be even a way to bring in the gospel. Hey, you know, you're using God's name in a profane way. And you know, the third commandment says, he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what I would say is, you know, have you ever thought of who you're talking about? God? Jesus? And do you know what Jesus did by dying on the cross for sins? And maybe you should think about not using his name in that way, and instead you should think about Jesus and who he is and what he did. And you could be forgiven. So I think that could be something that you could do and that you could even use to bring the gospel. But I'm not trying to put some unnecessary burden on people, but if it is within our power, and it's such a serious crime to God, and it causes anger in God, and it was something that required the death penalty in the Old Testament, you know, it may not be too small a thing for us to speak up when we hear it and just say, you know, probably not the best way to use God, the creator of the heavens and the earth's name. But, you know, want to speak to that, Eric? I mean, I know in my home, I wouldn't tolerate my kids to speak the Lord's name in vain. And again, I'm not trying to put some heavy burden on people that you got to go around correcting it. You know, you hear someone in Starbucks. But I mean, if it's someone that you, I'm just saying, you know, obviously we don't obey all the commandments perfectly. You know, obviously that's why we have the gospel.
Yeah, my home's different, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I get paid to work, I'm not going to correct people.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just kind of, yeah. Unless it's with the gospel. To come to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, you still remember it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, it's a difficult issue. I sympathize with what Eric's saying. I mean, he works in a mechanic shop, but in a sense, yeah. So we got some, okay, you, and then, it's great to see you. Okay, here, Chris, go ahead. Right. Okay. That's good. Yeah. Right.
Especially it would be important, I think, in situations where your silence would lay you open to the suspicion of approving what's said by unbelievers.
That's a good point.
Then cast an approach on, oh, that person's Christian.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point.
If that's the situation you're in, I think it would.
Okay. Well, then that's a great point. You see the qualification he made? I think that's right. You know, if you, by not saying anything, it might cast suspicion on, oh, well, he thinks that's acceptable to use the Lord's name in vain. Then maybe you ought to say something. So, yeah. I forget, man. I'm sorry. Breck. Okay, yeah, Breck. Sorry. And then your wife, Bailey. Yeah, okay, Breck and Bailey. Sorry. Okay, go ahead, Breck. Yeah, great to see you, by the way. You guys move back here then. You're moved. Okay, great. Go ahead.
Kind of, in my mind, it's kind of the same reason why I don't go and try to evangelize every single person around me at all times. There are times where it says, you know, not to cast your pearls at the swine, not to do what leads to the dog. So there's a certain level of concern that you always have to have. Is this appropriate? Like, is working on that?
Yeah.
Like that,
and that's kind of what Chris said. You know, it's just, he has to be moderated by wisdom, you know. But I would say, I'm just saying for me, you know, I would probably err not so much on the side of me going around correcting everyone. I probably would err more, I'm more tempted to just not do as much as maybe I ought to do to uphold the commandment, you know. And I'm just saying, I say that to my shame, but I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times I think I could say things if I was a little more bold, and I should, you know, rather than, you know, so that's all I'm saying. Again, it's wisdom, and I totally get that. Okay, Eric, then Jason.
Just one last thing. Just on the silence thing, I agree with what Chris was saying, but
at the break table at work and they're talking amongst each other, they're telling the dirty jokes or whatever, and you don't laugh and you don't get involved in it, and then they get kind of somber, and then Nate's like, oh, don't say that around him, he's a Christian. You know, so they do, they're more convicted by that, to where at times I'm not saying I don't ever speak, there is times I have spoke to it, but
yeah,
there
of course.
Are times when silence can be actually a convicting thing. You know,
you're yeah.
Not laughing with everybody, or you're not buying into it, or even when they say the Lord's name, Jane, you can give them that look like that's not appropriate. You know, they seem to pick up on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, is that what, yeah.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. And I was thinking of like our kids, like Dylan, that he felt like if he was silent, and he's in school, and it's like every kid that he walks past says that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's within reason. You know, I think it's also, think about it. If you have a relationship with someone, maybe if they're living in some other sin that's breaking one of the commandments, you might speak to them, hey, you know, God, you know, did you murder someone the other day? Well, let me tell you what God says about that. You know, you probably turn them into the police, but I guess what I'm saying is, I guess it depends on your nature of your relationship too. If you're close to that person and you care for them, and you know what the Bible says about it, then you might want to use that as a situation where bring the gospel. I mean, isn't that a perfect opportunity for the gospel where it says God will not hold him guiltless who uses the Lord's name in vain? So, well, if he's not going to hold you guiltless and you've used the name of the Lord in vain, then what are you going to do? You're definitely condemned to hell. Oh, well, let me explain. There's an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he can forgive you for all of your sins. Yeah. And then Jason. I would. No, just kidding. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. That's good too. Jason, you speak the final word on it. Okay. Right, or a church fellow church member using the name in vain. That'd be something we would. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So that's a good point, too. You know, great point. He brings up that in the Old Testament context, it was within the theocracy, which we could equivocate that to like the church, we might say. You know, the church would be the, you know, so if something was like going on in the church, we would definitely have to confront that. You know, and I guess if the guy wouldn't stop saying the Lord's name in vain, we would have to excommunicate him. You know, just like in Israel, they'd have to execute him. We wouldn't do that, of course. We don't have the authority to do that, but we would excommunicate in that manner. If they wouldn't stop doing it, which I think would be crazy, but Okay, so good. But I really think this is good. We're talking about how we apply the law, and that's the moral law, and that's really good. Gloria. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah, a good, great point. That just shows our culture and how far we are from true religion. Yeah. Right.
Said, we don't judge, outside. We judge those in the church, not judge those outside. So I think the context should, for outsiders, unbelievers, should always be redeeming the time, always be making the most for evangelism. And within the church, like we're saying, I think that's when, it definitely does need to be confronted.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And you're right. And it goes back to the gospel. And it's a great way to evangelize because, who hasn't used the name of the Lord in vain in our culture? So that would be also another way you could evangelize. Do you know you're a sinner? Have you used the name of the Lord in vain? Well, look what Exodus 20, verse 7 says. It says, God will not hold you guiltless. And it's a great segue for the gospel. Okay, so yeah. Well, we got 5 minutes. Let me just, so that's really good. I think we got that. To uphold the commandment, we must always also use the name of the Lord with great devotion and holy reverence. So I think that can apply to the way we worship. When we talk about God, we don't want to use these trite expressions, the man upstairs, or, the guy in the sky, or something like that. We really need to be very reverent in the way we talk about God, and especially when it comes to worship. That's why we take the worship of God so seriously. Some churches, I think they want to be more seeker, and they want to be more friend. How do you say it? Seeker friendly, whatever. So they're going to be like, okay, we're going to, just make it, we don't want to make be offend the unbelievers. But when we're coming to God, we should be reverent. This is the holy God. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the one who creates all things, And it's like, we should think about who we're coming to, lifting holy hands with reverence, without dissension. Okay. It reminded me of Scripture, Hebrews. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom, cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and godly fear. All right, so that we should think about that. We don't want to use God as the butt of our jokes, of course, Stuff like that, that is not in keeping with the commandment. Calvin said we should not use God's name, quote, for purposes of our own ambition, avarice, or amusement. So this could be like pastors and speakers and authors must not be pillars of God's word, using his name sort of as a way to make a profit. Think about that. Some people might use God's name, peddling the word of God in order to make profit of people. That would be, again, a way that we could take the name of the Lord in vain. We can proclaim the name of God. Now, this may be positive, how we can proclaim the name of God positive, by extolling the virtues of God, proclaiming his excellencies and his perfections. It's in a rightful manner. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we're a chosen race, holy priesthood, people of God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. And then lastly, if we're talking about just the way we conduct ourselves, that we're Christians and we represent God, then we want to represent him rightly in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, in our speech, right? If people know we are Christians and say we're acting in ways that are not Christian, not biblical, sinful, then in a sense we could be doing what the Israelites were doing, misrepresenting God by their works, their thoughts, their speech, and their deeds. So we need to act in ways that will glorify the name of God. I know that's hard. That's what I'm saying. If you think about it, we've all broken this commandment. We don't represent God like we should 100% of the time. Again, it always goes back to the gospel, why we need the gospel. Yeah. You're saying God said in extra biblical revelation, not like in. Yeah, definitely could be. Yeah.
So, I mean, I struggle with that. And like what we talked about last week about the church that meets here, it's hard when you listen to the service or in your office or, you know, out, because it's just like, wow, they are really, I feel that. That's like severe blasphemy.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people say, God tells me this, God tells me that. I hear it all the time, especially with charismatic circles, and it's just rather unfortunate. You know, it's just totally subjective. How do you know God told you that? God, you know, especially the things they tell you are somewhat, most of the time, it seems like contradictory to the Bible. So it's just, you know, it's a hard thing. Everyone's going around saying, God told me this, God told me that. One prophet says go east. The other prophet says go west. What do you do? You know, it's just so, again, it comes back to the more sure word of prophecy, which we would do well to look into that. You know, again, that's why we believe so much in the ordinary means of grace and the preaching of the word. Prayer, ordinances. You know, those are the way that God works through people. It may not be a real sensationalistic, but that is how God works today. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you? Right.
Right. That would be like misrepresenting his name, profaning his name. Yeah. 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 Okay. That's good. So it says like Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all, listen, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So it says doing everything through his name. The name in the Hebrew culture was more than just, you know, a name, Ed or John, but it was, it described his character, his nature, who he was, his words and his actions. So we want to do everything in the name of the Lord, something that's consistent with God, his character, his nature, and his word. And then if we don't, remember what Paul said in Romans 2:24, to the Jews, I think he was describing when they were not walking according to the name. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So conversely, if we don't represent God rightly, we, in a sense, drag Christ's name through the mud, misrepresent him. And unfortunately, that does happen. And when it does, we're thankful again that we have the gospel. We don't represent him perfectly, but hopefully we can grow in our sanctification and we can honor his name, you know, in our words, our thoughts, our actions, and deeds. Okay? Any other questions? I was going to get in the gospel right here because this is the perfect opportunity for the gospel, because we've all done that. We've all dishonored his name, so to speak. He will not hold us guiltless, but only through a substitute, because there is one who always brought glory to God. Jesus Christ never profaned the name of God, and he is our substitute. His obedience is our obedience. His righteousness is ours. Yeah. You are. You're talking a lot. That's right. That's why it's so good to go through the law like this. It's so good for us, you know. And it also keeps continually reminding us, pointing us back to the gospel. Because that's our only hope. No. Yeah. Yeah, I read that. 220. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. He said, for this reason, the name of God is blasphemed among you. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So, all right. Well, let's pray and we'll begin our worship. Father, thank you again so much for this time's great discussion about the third commandment, Lord. We know that's a very serious commandment. We want to take it seriously. So help us to always use your name in a reverent way. We know that we haven't always done that. And we probably, unfortunately, won't